Austin.
Hey, good morning. There we go. We're on. We're live and kicking. Mackenzie, I heard. I think your husband told me, but I couldn't. I mean, I've been wrong with. I heard you were cooking the men's breakfast. No?
Oh, okay.
All right. You heard that? Oh, you got a yes. Look at that. That's how we get volunteers.
Yeah.
Hey. Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you again. And I just want to, you know, just I'm excited to bring the word. I feel like I need to pray for all those sunflowers that skip church to watch the Seahawks, that the Lord wouldn't hold it against them, that we'd still get a win. Amen, right?
Amen.
Amen. And I was pretty wrong on my prediction last week. I predicted the Seahawks would win, I think I said 35-7. That was really optimistic. But it was a win, so that's good. And I'll just for fun this morning, since I can't get worse than last, I'll say 27-24. Bird on top. So we'll go with that this morning. But super good to be together, and I'm excited to bring the word. If you weren't here last week, we started a series, and so I get to continue with that. And before I get into the word, I want you to just continue to pray for me in 1 week. So next week, and I won't be here, I get to do a men's retreat for another church in Maple Valley and do all their, we got to up our game. I think they've got like 6 services in 2.5 days that we're doing. And so that's a lot of meeting. And so we'll just be praying that God would use me to encourage another body of believers in Clay Elum area, and that just God would be glorified and guys' lives would be changed. And so I'm excited for that. So be praying for me this week as I get to go and minister to some other brothers in Christ. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray today and just ask for God's anointing to be here today as we just listen to the word. So, Father, thank you for what you're doing. Father, we stop and we acknowledge that apart from you, we can't do anything. But, Father, with you, we can do all things. And so we ask, God, and we thank you for your presence that is here today. Father, we ask as we just have a conversation, as we listen to the word, Father, would you not just make us feel good, but, Father, would you touch our hearts? Would you just challenge us? Father, would we have an encounter with you today? And I'm so grateful, God, that when we have encounters with you, that we truly aren't the same. And God, we look to you as the one who can bring life change to us today, to our families, to our church family, God, and to those around us in our community. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are in a series, and if you weren't here last week, we just kicked it off, and we are calling it We, and we're cultivating we in a society of me, right? And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at our culture and realize that people think a lot about themselves, right? I think a lot about myself, right? I won't put you on the spot, but I think we think about ourselves more than we probably ought to think. And so we're talking about what it means to have community in a society that is pretty self-driven. And so would you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2? I want to read just our key verse that we're kicking it off with, starting with verse 42, and I have it on the screens. And it says this, and they're talking about the early church. And so this is over 2,000 years ago, but these ingredients, I believe, are what helps make us have a strong community in 2019. So it says this, and they, and you could replace they with you, that's you this morning. So, and you, or and they, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. Sounds good. And the prayers. And an awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all these things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day to those who were being saved. The title of my message today is Committed to Community. And I want to talk about what that means. I was really, as I read the scripture, I was just, you know how sometimes you read the word and things just pop out at you. And the word that popped out at me this last week as I read the scripture says, they devoted themselves. Okay, devoted speaks of commitment. You know, 6 weeks ago today, if you hadn't heard, our family had a house fire. And it was like, you know, it's been quite a whirlwind of just what a journey we've had in the last 6 weeks. We lived 3 weeks in a hotel. And people say, what's it like to live at? It's one thing to go to a hotel when, like, you're on vacation, but living in a hotel is a little different experience than, like, I will say the breakfast and some lady making your bed is really cool, right? I mean, that, if I can just have that, that would be a win. So I missed that. After the hotel, we are now living in an apartment condo in Issaquah, and we will be there probably until March, until our house is all done. And people, they're so interesting, and I love to see people. They want to help in any way possible. And, you know, when someone that you know has a house fire, you don't really know what they need. And so you're like, hey, if you need, like, some shoes, I can borrow, you know, you can use my shoes. And I'm like, well, I think I'm good on shoes because everything gets cleaned. And so I love to see in moments like that where people come around and they want to help. And people always go like this. They go, how are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. And then they're like, no, how are you really doing? And I'm like, I'm really doing okay. And then they'll say something like, you know, you can be honest with me. I'm like, thanks, I try to. But I appreciate it. And what people are asking when they ask me that question, I think they're expecting me to, like, you know, be a ball of mess or something. I'm not really sure. But I was thinking about why I'm doing okay and why our family's doing okay. And they say, well, is everything going normal? Well, no, not at all. In fact, it's not normal at all. At all. It's not normal. But my main commitments in my life, my job, my family, my spouse, they're all doing all right. They say, well, what about the other areas? Well, we don't need to worry about those other areas right now. I don't need to worry about the workout routine that I was going to start the day before the fire started. Right? Why? Because in the grand scheme of things, that commitment isn't as important as the main commitments that I need to have keep going in my life as we are dealing with some interesting circumstances in life right now. And I got to thinking about this whole commitment thing. You know, and when life happens, how many know life happens? How many of you know? I mean, I know so many of us in this room. I would say, how are you? And you're going to give me the B word, right? I am busy, right? Busyness happens. Okay, it happens. I'm busy. You're busy. There are so many things at the end of the day when I'm laying in bed trying to sleep. I go through my head and I say all the things that I didn't get done that I wanted to get done. Anyone else have a list like that? Right? Every day, right? We are busy people. But the truth of the matter is, most of the time, I can make time for the things that I am really committed to making time for those things. Amen? I can't go to my wife and, honey, I don't have time for you. That's not going to fly in the Garland household. And I hope that doesn't fly in your household. But the bottom line is, when we talk about commitment, I can make time for the things that I find valuable to make time for in my life. And we're talking about community. And I just want to say it, that God's plan for your life when it has to do with community, God values and God has community as part of his plan for your life. Okay? We got to understand that. And today we're talking about committed to community. I want to say this about commitment, that life is identified by your commitments. Okay? You ask me how my life is going, you ask me what I'm going to do, and I'm going to begin to tell you the things that I am committed to making happen in my life. Well, today after church, I'm going to do this, and then tomorrow I'm going to do this. And here's the deal about the commitments. Our commitments that we make, they dictate the direction that our life goes. Okay, my life is directed by the exact commitments that I choose to make, and my life is not directed by the commitments that I don't choose to make. You know, probably one of my worst fears and my wife's worst fear is that we would not become people who overcommit but underdeliver, right? And some of you are thinking, well, man, you're not doing a very good job. Well, maybe not. But we don't want to be those people that can talk a good game and that at the end of the day that you don't do anything that you talk about. Don't people like that just kind of make you pray for them a lot? Huh? Right? Or drive you crazy and then you got to pray for them? But on the flip side, I was thinking about commitment in our generation and in our nation and our society. I think people have a fear of overcommitting and under-delivering. And so the thing that they do to fix that is they just choose not to make any commitments. Right? Think about it. We live in a society that is afraid to commit to things. Right? Some little things, some big things. We live in a society that they say, statistics say that we live in a culture, and in America is in a place where people are less committed to relationships. Yeah. They say people are less committed to have long-lasting friendships. Because why? Well, things happen, you get in disagreements, and instead of working them out, you find new friends. Right? That's what they say people are doing these days. They also say the average marriage in America is just under 8 years. Okay? Why? Well, lots of reasons why. Probably commitment is a big part of that. Because when the going gets tough, maybe you decide to get going. You know, commitment has been devalued because people want to keep, and I've heard this before, we want to keep our options open. Well, I don't want to commit to something because what if something, come on, right? Something better. And we do this in all aspects of our life. You know, we all have the friend who you invite them over for dinner. Maybe I just have this friend. You invite them over for dinner and you make plans. And then they're like, hey, you know, something came up. So we're not going to make it. And then you see on social media, they like climb Mount Rainier when they're supposed to be at your house. And you're like, oh, I see how it is. Like, nothing, something came up. Something better came up. And you just wanted to commit to that. And it's like, I don't blame you, but you know, be honest with me here. So we live in a culture and a society that is less committed today than it ever has been before. You know, and when we talk about our faith, when we talk about our relationship with God, we got to realize that our God-honoring commitments, okay, the commitment, again, I can make a commitment to you, and that's gonna shape my character, that's going to shape my reputation. But when I make commitments to God, right, we've all made commitments to God, and I hope you've kept your commitments to God. But our God-honoring commitments, they shape our future. And they lead us to live the life of purpose that God has for us. Okay, I wrote this down this week. I said, the commitments we make today will truly reflect the life that we live tomorrow with the Lord. Okay, I make a commitment today, but that commitment today, the fruit of that commitment today, is very rarely seen the moment I make that commitment. Right? The fruit of my commitment is always in the future. Always after I follow through that commitment. You know, there's this thing, we call it FOMO. You know what FOMO is? It's fear of missing out. Okay, God does not want his people to live in a place where they fear making commitments to one another, but also to him. Okay, there's scriptures like in Matthew 5:37, he says, let your yes be yes. Okay, and then again in Psalms 15, this talks about that they make firm commitments and follow through even when it hurts. God does not want his people to be people who are so wishy-washy that they won't make a commitment when he is looking for people that are committed to the purposes that he has for them. Okay, here's what happens when we commit to something. When we commit, it eliminates every other option that could go on in that moment. When I commit, hey, I'm going to come to your house for dinner, guess what? I'm coming to your house for dinner. But I now no longer have an option to go to someone else's house for dinner because I made a commitment. Okay, how about buyer's remorse? Has anyone ever had buyer's remorse? Right, you're looking for a car, looking for a house, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to buy that one, because what if the very next day a little bit better truck comes on the market, right? Or what if there's a house that just has every option, right? God doesn't want us to live in fear when it comes to him about making commitments.
Yeah.
And here's what I know about commitments. His commitments help us write the eternal story that God has for our life. Okay, think about it. In my life, I am committed to Jesus Christ. He is my personal Lord and Savior. Jesus has saved me from death, from hell, and Jesus has given me a hope and a future. I can stand before you today, and I am very confident that I will never walk away from the commitment that I made to Jesus. Okay, I am a husband. I am committed to my wife. I live with good boundaries around my life, and I have people in my life, and I am very confident that I will never break a commitment that I have with my wife. I am committed to be a father. Okay, I have made a commitment to my 4 sons that says, hey, I'm going to be the best example of God that you can have. When I screw up, I'm going to hopefully walk in humility quickly. And I'm going to show you what it means to be a spiritual leader, to be a man, to be someday a husband, to someday be a father. I'm committed in my life to be a tither. I've said, God, I'm going to give you, it's all yours, I'm going to give you a 10% and hopefully a little bit more. Why? Because I believe in the kingdom of God. I am committed to the next generation. I am committed to see my sons and my sons' friends and everyone else that's younger than me be raised up in the ways of God. I am committed to give back to our community. Right? This is me. Right? I'm telling you my commitments. Okay? I believe that God has put me as a light in a dark place in our community, and so I take advantage of opportunities that God gives me to be involved. Okay? That's my story. Okay? My commitments reflect the story that I'm living and the story that God is writing in my life. We've heard the saying that says, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? But I say this, when the going gets tough, your commitment keeps you grounded. Okay, Zig Ziglar said this. He said it was character that got us out of bed, commitment that moved us into action, and discipline that enabled us to follow through. Go on, read that quote. Right? It was character. Listen, I don't feel like getting out of bed every single day. Listen, I don't feel like doing a lot of things. I don't feel like always being in action. But it's the commitment. It's the promise. It's the character that God has in my life that keeps me moving forward. Okay, here's what I know about commitment. That when we walk in commitment, there is a door of intentionality that opens up to us. Okay, and I believe that God wants his people to live intentional lives. Okay, so when we talk about commitment to the community, God wants you to live your life in community on purpose. Say on purpose. On purpose. Okay, you were created for a lot of different reasons. But one of the reasons that God created you and put you on this earth is he created you to invest into the things that are eternal. Okay, you have an eternal call on your life, not just that you're going to live in heaven someday, but that the things that you do on this earth will have eternal results. Meaning the things that you put your hands to aren't just because you're bored, but there's eternal purposes for those things. And I believe this about the local church, that the local church is God's extension to see you partner with the things that are greater than this earth. Okay? The local church is God's vehicle to see you connected to the things that are eternal in your life. So my question is, what are you committed to? Come on. When I just gave you my list, the things that I'm committed to. What are you committed to in your life? Okay, what story is your commitments writing right now? Okay, we all, this time of year, right, we've got the faith family football, right? You see the sign, some of you have it in your room. Faith family football. What isn't on that list that needs to be on that list in your life?
That's good.
Are there commitments in your life that God wants to rearrange so that you can devote yourself to the things that matter to his heart?
Yeah.
Are there things that you're doing that maybe God's saying, hey, I know you're doing this, but I have a better way for you to do it? Maybe. I said it last week, but I said community is a big deal to God. And God wants community to become a big deal to us. You know, there's a scripture in Galatians 5, you can turn there, starting with verse 25. But anytime God has something that he wants his people to walk in, there's always a counterfeit to that. Okay, the enemy always wants to come in, and he always wants, he's not just going to lie to you just because he thinks you're stupid. No, he's going to bring something that sounds right, that sounds good, that's just a little bit off, and he'll try to get you to walk in that. Okay, there is a true community that God has for his people. Okay, but I believe also there is a false sense of community that the enemy would want us to walk in. Right? When I say false sense of community, I probably think of a number of different things. I think one of those things is maybe Facebook says I have 989 friends. That's pretty good for a 38-year-old skinny, balding guy. That's pretty good. But when I go through hard things in my life, my 989 friends, 983 and a half of them don't even know what's going on in my life. But that facade, and I'm not picking on social media, I have them too. That facade can give me a fake sense of true community when God has a real, genuine community and way that he wants us to live and walk in. So Galatians 5:25 and 6 says it this way. Says we must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after him. Okay, sounds good. So we may never be arrogant or look down on one another, for each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of one another. Okay, that's talking about there's a false community and there's a true sense of community. There's another translation of Galatians 5 I want to read for you because it has some words that are going to help us get to our conclusion this morning. And it says this. It says, now since we have chosen to walk with the Spirit, let's keep step in perfect sync with God's Spirit. This will happen when we set aside our self-interests and work together to create true community. Instead of a culture that is consumed by provocation, pride, and envy. Listen, in your life, God wants you to be committed to true community. God wants me committed to true community. Have you ever looked at someone in their life? Maybe it's their big muscles, or maybe it's their yard, and you've thought, I wish I had a yard as green as Pastor Ryan's. Or man, I wish I had muscles as big as Pastor Justin, right? Yeah. Check your minute. Right, but you look at these people that have things and you say, man, I wish I could have that. Have you ever done that? But then the truth of the matter is you go, I wish I had that, but I don't want to water my lawn 4 times a day. So I'm not willing to do what you do to get what you have, right?
Right.
So when we talk about community, it's very easy for us to say, oh, God wants community. But let me tell you something. True community is hard work.
Yeah.
True community says, I'm going to now be committed to different things than I used to be committed to. Because if I want the results and the bennies of community, I'm going to have to invite someone over for dinner. And I'm going to have to be okay with my house not looking perfect.
Yeah.
Or with laundry being on the couch, all those types of things. Galatians 5, it says, our culture says community is full of pride, envy, and making others look bad to make ourselves look better. Here's the problem is the church... And I'm not saying it is, but I hope the church isn't known for the same things that the world's community is known for. You know, but unfortunately, when I think about community and I think about what the scripture says about what true community looks like and what false community looks like. Unfortunately, sometimes I look at my own life and I say, I really don't know how much different I do look than the world. You know, because I think in the Christian community today, I think instead of modeling true community, I think we have my views versus yours. Well, I believe this, you believe that. You're wrong, I'm right. You better change. Okay, we have my convictions versus yours. We have my social standings versus yours. And here's what I know about the culture that our community and that our world walks in. The world, the culture that the world sets always wants you to pick a side. Have you noticed that? Pick a side. You're either for it or you're against it. Pick a side. You know, in fact, I don't watch the news a lot, and I have watched a little bit. There's these debates going on right now. Jesus. Jesus. But here's the problem. We don't even gather around anymore what we're for. It's always what you're for and how you're wrong. Have you noticed that? Not just in politics, but even in our Christianity. I want to be known for what I'm for, not just the things that I disagree with you on. Because I think there's a better way to do it. Amen?
Amen?
I think there is. And here's what I know. I would say in a divided nation, you know what our nation needs? They need a unified church. They need a unified church. I'm not saying a church that's full of opinions or a church that's so set on our views and our standing. I'm talking about a united church. Because we gather around a name that is above every other name. Jesus is not American.
Yeah.
Jesus is not an independent. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. We are all called by the name that is above every name, that at that name, it says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We gather this morning around the captain of the Lord's army, the one who can take an impossible situation and make it possible, that one that can take your cold heart and turn around and give you a heart of flesh, right? We gather around the one who says all nations will bow and all nations will serve him. That's who we gather around, and that's who we find true community around. Okay, it's not about my views or my lack of views. It's about that I serve Jesus, and at his name every knee bows. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. And here's what I know is the world is watching. The world is watching. And what are they watching? They're not watching for you to screw up. Well, some might. Right? But they're watching you to say, why do I want what you have? Good question. Great question. Because if we're going to get this community thing right, we cannot be good at majoring over our disagreements. The world is watching. John 17, verses 20 through 24 says it this way. And this is Jesus, and he says this. He says, I ask not only for these disciples, but also for those who will one day believe in me through your message. I pray for all of them to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us, so that the world will recognize that you sent me. Come on, there it is right there. For the very glory you have given to me, I've given them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live in them, so that they will experience perfect unity. And the world will be convinced that you have sent me. There it is again. For they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. Listen, us walking in true community is the greatest witness that we have to a broken world.
Yeah.
They will say, if they can love each other like that, then I want their Jesus.
Yeah.
Then I want that same relationship. So we talk about this. We can say amen. We can, you know, I can preach at you until you're waving the hankies. But how do we develop true community? Please don't wave a hanky at me. Right? How do you develop true community? Because that sounds good. Here's what I know. It's you. Right? It starts with you, and it starts with this you. It starts with each of us. Right? You want community in your life, then I would say this. Then be the type of person and become the type of community that you are looking for. Good. Come on, that's really good, like dating and marriage advice too. If you're single and you're looking for a spouse, man, then you start being the person that you're looking for. And I'm telling you right now, it'll all work out. You know, but our scripture in Galatians 5, it says, it gives us the ingredients. It says, you want to walk in true community? Then I want you to do two things. The first thing that it says is it says this. It says, this will happen when you set aside self-interest and work together. So how to walk in true community? Number one, live a selfless life. Okay, live a selfless life. Well, if you're going to live a selfless life, the first thing that you need to probably evaluate is, what are my self-interests? Come on, think about that. We all have self-interests, right? About the way that we think the world should go, about the way we think church should go, about the way we think our boss should do things. Right, but it says if you want to walk in true community, then walk selfless. Okay, so number one, God, what are the motives that direct my life? When I come to church on Sunday morning, what are my expectations? Come on, think about that. I'm getting real this morning. Right, because a lot of times I come in here discouraged and I think, well, God, if I can just get those goosebumps, I'll feel really good about myself. But maybe God doesn't want me to have those goosebumps. Maybe God wants me to have the faith that is going to pray for someone else that's discouraged and needs to be encouraged. Right? So it has everything to do with how we view everything, how we view church, how we view the community. Do we go through our lives seeking our own needs first? So how to walk in true community? God, are we selfish? Do we have self-interest? And number two, okay, yeah, we are God. How do we embody selflessness? Okay, how do I become a selfless person? Okay, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. You become selfless by asking this question. How can I serve someone else today? If you're married, how do I serve my spouse today? If you're a parent, how do I serve my kids today? I wake up every day and my prayer is, God, let me have eyes to be the portion of Jesus that someone else needs in their life today. You want to get rid of self-interest? Then start asking yourself that question. How can I prefer today? Okay, even in a local church setting, do my own interests override God's interests? Yeah, they probably do. Or the interests of others. Okay, you want to walk into your community, number one, then be selfless. Number two, it says work together. Well, what does that mean? It means that there is an interdependence on one another. Okay, I'm not talking about an unhealthy dependence. I'm talking about an interdependence. Well, what does an interdependence mean? It means this. You need me to walk by the Spirit of God, and I need you to walk by the Spirit of God. Interdependence means when I'm weak, I'm going to count that you're going to be strong, and you're going to encourage me when I'm weak. But it also means this. When you're weak, it means that I'm going to encourage you in your weakness. Okay, there's an interdependence on one another. Listen, in this room, if you are over 50 years old, I want to tell you something, that those under 50 need you this morning. There is wisdom, there is maturity, there is power in your voice. And the next generation needs you not to correct them when they're wrong, but to model and to walk with them of what it means to be a mature Christian. Okay, we need, if you are under 50 this morning, we need you. And the older generation needs you. We are interdependent on one another. Listen, I believe this. I believe that you can succeed in your life when you know how to win. Listen, part of the problem is some people have never experienced victory in their life and they don't even know how to win. Okay, I have never pastored a church before, but guess what? I have some men in my life that know how to win in ministry. Okay, you're going to want to mark your calendars for the weekend of October 6th because a good friend of mine, Mark Cargill, is coming to town. And Mark Cargill is one of those men in my life that has taught me how to have kingdom wins. Why? Is he better than me? No, maybe. No. But he has experienced what it is to have wins in the kingdom. And I want to win. Okay, if you are hurting this morning, true community says, I will comfort you. Not, well, that's too bad. Hopefully you figure it out. Listen, if someone falls in a pit and you know that they fell, well, guess what? Community says, I'm going to help you out of the pit. You know, I was challenged this week as I was preparing this message. And, you know, a lot of times when you're hurting, when your life is going crazy, you want to talk about your problems. And there's a place for that. But I met with someone this week, and I literally don't know why we met. Because all I did was just sat there, and I couldn't even say yes. Have you ever met someone like that you can't even get a word in? Right? And I think I'm guilty of that sometimes because I'm so focused on what my own needs are that I can't even see that maybe there's others around me that have needs. Maybe there's someone struggling around you that's looking for you to encourage them. Right? If you're walking in victory this morning, good for you. But maybe look for someone that's not walking in victory and encourage them. Here's what I know on this day in September, that God is looking for a people that is committed to making community happen in their life. There's a scripture in Psalm 37, starting with verse 3. You know, because I think for me, the hardest part when I'm talking about commitment is, God, how do I make God-honoring commitments? Right? Okay, that sounds good, but how do I make those commitments? Psalm says it this way. It says, make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and he will provide for you what you desire the most. Give God the right to direct your life, and as you trust him along the way, you'll find that he pulled it out perfectly. So you want to learn how to make God-honoring commitments? Then learn what it means to find delight in God. Okay, if you look at that word delight, it doesn't mean like happy, happy. It actually means to be pliable, to be moldable, and to be shapeable. Okay, you want to find your delight in God, then be moldable to what God wants to do in your life. Worship team, would you come up? We're just going to end in song today. So you want to make some God-honoring commitments, then learn to find your delight in God. And the second thing this scripture says, it says commit, right? Commit. That's what we've been talking about. Commit, commit, commit. And trust that he will do it. Okay, the word trust. Okay, listen, you can't trust. You can't trust without commitment. Okay, in fact, when you read the word trust, it means this. In the Greek, it means to roll over. But what does that have to do with anything? Right? Another word, it would mean to go all in. Anyone know what it means to go all in? Anyone play poker last night? Don't admit it. Right? But it means to trust means to roll over. To trust means to go all in. Meaning I can't trust when I'm still holding on to my hand. I can't trust when I'm still holding on to my cards. Right? But to truly trust God means, God, I don't got an option. Because I just went all in. I just laid all my cards out on the table. I think sometimes we come to God hedging our bets. Right? Well, I'm going to hold on to this, and if I think it's going to work out, then I'll go all in. But if I don't think God's going to show up, then I'm not going to go on. Listen, God is asking for a people that is going to go all in when it comes to community. Would you stand up with me this morning? And here's what I know about God. I can go all in based on what He's already done for me. Because He's already been good to me. He's already been faithful to me. So my question today is, what commitment is God asking of you? Go on, you can close your eyes this morning. I want you to think about that as we just as we close out of here for the day. But what commitment is God asking of you? Is there so many other commitments in your life that you don't have time for community? You don't have time for relationships? You know, over the summer, as I was just spending time with the Lord, for 2 years, God said, I want you to make this place a place on Sundays where people can receive Jesus if they don't know Jesus. And so for the last 2 weeks, I've been on purpose to bring a time in my message to give people an opportunity to respond to Jesus. And 2 weeks ago, it was awesome. Because two people raised their hand that had never received Jesus. Last week, I don't know. But here's what I know, is that God wants this to be a place where new life can be found.
Right.
And I do not want to be guilty of not offering new life to those who need it.
Amen.
And so maybe this morning, I believe this, that the ultimate commitment is that you make a commitment to Christ in your life. That's the ultimate commitment. It's a question of salvation. So this morning, I don't know, again, if there's anyone in here that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know if there's anyone in here that wants to commit to Jesus today. But I just want to take a moment. If you have never made a commitment to Jesus, if you've never said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord this morning, in just this moment, while everyone's eyes are closed, if you would just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for. I just want to take a moment. Cool. And here's what I want to do. Would you just pray this prayer after me? Would everyone in this room repeat this? Say, Dear Jesus, I commit today to follow you, to make you the Lord of my life. I ask that you forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from unrighteousness. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And be my God. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, I don't know. But here's what I know. I don't know if anyone made that prayer for the first time. If you did, I'd love to talk to you afterwards. But I believe that in this coming week, in this coming weeks, that God is going to be stirring on all of our hearts to rearrange things in our life, to rearrange commitments, not so that we just be busy doing church, but so that we would be busy with the things that God wants us to be busy with and committed to. And so would you just be open to that? Come on, let's sing this and then we're going to pray. Let's sing together. Come on, lift your voices, lift your hands to the Lord. Let's sing this out.
Though weapon may be formed, it won't prosper. But when the darkness falls, Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. A victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. It belongs to you, Lord. It belongs to you, God. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. And I'm not backing down from any giant. I know how this story ends. I know how this story ends. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
So, Father, all over this room today, God, we just open our hearts to you. Father, in this area of community, in this area of commitment, Father, I ask that you would examine each of our hearts this week. Father, that you would allow us to see the things, God, that we don't have time for. God, allow us to see the things that we're not making time for. Father, forgive us for where we've had a false sense of community in our life. Father, forgive us for areas where we've been no different than how the world operates when it comes to community. Father, where our life has been full of envy and pride and making others look bad in the name of us looking good. Father, would we be a people that can rally around the name of Jesus. Father, would we be a people that can rally on the one who can change it all. Father, let us be known as those people. And Father, I pray that our nation, that our community, Father, that our family members would be able to see the difference because of you. So God, we honor you today. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's going to be a good day.
Yes.
And God bless you. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week. Let's go out of here. In Jesus' name, you're released.